The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. One of America's largest churches is in the news today because of a decision they have reached concerning the whole COVID-19 thing. I will get to that in just a moment. But first, I've got William in Westerville. Hey, William, thanks for calling. You're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
How you doing, Bob?
William, I am well. Thank you for asking. I am well and I'm blessed.
I wanted to give a response to that last story that you did before the break of the news.
Uh-huh.
That is terrible. Doesn't matter whether it's from the left or the right. I disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. You said if it was a Republican, they would be demanding their resignation, but I don't think that's true, Bob. What would happen is you would have had Republicans come to the defense, just like they do the president, and probably would have said something like, what she meant was that by not wearing a mask, you're causing more risk of people getting COVID and dying from it. Which, of course, would be a lie.
Yeah.
But that's what goes on in politics, and unfortunately, that's what the Republicans do anyway, especially with this president.
Well, I don't know how other people would respond. I know the Speaker of the House, Larry Householder, fairly well. We're not best buddies. We don't golf every week, but I know him pretty well. And I honestly believe that if she was a Republican, he would be demanding her resignation. But I'm not sure of that. But William, I know me. And this registered Republican, if this had been a Republican who tweeted this exact same thing, I would be on the radio today demanding her resignation. Wouldn't make any difference to me whether she was Republican or Democrat. I know how I would respond, and I know that at least some Republicans would respond as I would, and I don't find, and maybe there is, but I have not found a single Democrat who has condemned this or even criticized this in any way. But we'll see. But this happened on the 11th. Well, you would think that by now somebody would be speaking up.
They definitely should. Now, Bob, you know me. I'm going to tell what's right. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat. I'm going to say what's right. I think we've established a little bit of a relationship here.
Sure.
So we can talk frank to each other.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I haven't been able to hear you since it happened.
Sure.
That tweet that the president tweeted out where the man at the beginning said, right power, do you believe that the president did not know that was on there when he tweeted it out?
I'm not familiar with the tweet that you're referring to, William.
Oh, okay.
I'm not familiar with it. If you can send it to me, I will say this. I have said since before he got elected, I wish somebody would break his phone. I have said that dozens of times, that I think he has hurt himself. And I honestly believe he has hurt the country many times by his tweets. I think they've been unwise, many of them. I think many of them have been inappropriate, and they've been counterproductive. And I've been very vocal about that. But the one you're referring to, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, that's very good. That's good for today. You know, we don't say too much to the listeners because we want to leave them wanting more. So I'll call you back later on.
All right, William.
Good evening. We'll talk to you
soon. Listen, your comments are always welcome here. I want you to know that. I'm sure we disagree on a lot of things, but I would imagine we agree on more than we disagree, and we're brothers in Christ, and we can talk about them in a respectful manner and honor each other's views.
Thank you, sir. Have a good
day. Thank you, William. Okay. All right. God bless you. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. William and I are from different political persuasions. We have different views. But that's the way our conversation should be. And I appreciate his spirit. I really do. So anyway, William, thanks. Appreciate the call. And I'm in it. Your calls are always welcome. The more I think about it, the more upset I get. One of America's largest churches has decided they will not meet in person next month, the month after that, the month after that, the month after that. They have already determined that they will not meet in person until at least next year. What church is it? North Point Community Church, the church pastored by Andy Stanley. Now, and I'm not shy about this, I have not been a big fan of Andy Stanley for a long, long, long time, for many, many reasons. For many, many reasons, and I've dealt with that in the past, I'm not going to dig it up again. But here is the story out of Georgia. North Point Community Churches announced Monday, and churches because they have several campuses, announced Monday it will not resume in-person gatherings through the end of this year. Now, number one, why? Why make a decision about December? We have no idea what's going to be going on with this COVID-19 thing in October, November, December. We have no way of knowing. And as all of us know, just about every single prediction, almost every single model has been wrong. So why in the world would a church, one of the largest churches in America, make a decision in July on whether they're going to meet together in December? It makes no sense to me at all. Pastor Andy Stanley posted a video on Facebook Tuesday saying that based on the uptick of COVID-19 cases, the results of a survey sent to attendees, red flag for me. You don't make decisions based on surveys sent to attendees. You don't do that. That's not what leadership is all about. A pastor, a leader, consults members, talks to them, and so forth, but you do not make decisions based on what everybody wants. The church will suspend in-person adult worship services for the remainder of the year. Stanley said, even if the church did reopen, listen to this, he does not believe they would be able to create a quality adult or children's worship experience with social distancing protocols in place. I hesitate to interpret that and go too deep, but coming together is not about a quality experience. It's obeying God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We are commanded to meet together in person. I get it if churches needed to pull back and not have in-person services. I get that. But here is my bottom line. If Home Depot believes what they are doing is important enough to have people in the store, if Walmart believes that what they are doing is essential enough to have people in the store, If restaurants can figure out a way to social distance and make it safe, if going to get lumber or nails or sod or mulch is important enough to figure out a way to do it safely, you mean to tell me churches cannot figure out a way to get people in and out safely? I'm sorry. Maybe you don't think this is a big deal. I do. This is communicating to the world. What we do at the church really isn't that important. So, hey, we don't want to take any risks. And I don't think anybody should take unreasonable risks. I don't. I don't think we should put people in harm's way. I don't. But the liberal left, ask Governor Newsom of California, churches are not essential. Lowe's is, Home Depot is, the corner liquor store is. They are essential, but not churches. I just find this incredibly troubling. If I were pastoring, and I'm not, I don't know when I would have reopened. But I can promise you, by now, we would have reopened. Multiple services, social distancing, masks, maybe all of those things would be used. But to cancel your in-person services through the rest of the year is insane.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Wow. It's 23 minutes after the top of the hour already. I don't know where the time's going. And I've got so many things to share with you today, but I always try to defer to the phones, and we've got Mike somewhere in Northwest Columbus. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
How you doing? Yeah, I think that tweet was disgusting. You know, if a Republican had done it, the Democrats would have demanded their resignation, and the Republican Speaker of the House would have demanded it. Didn't we have something like that before where somebody posted something on Facebook that was a Republican and had to they were kind of forced to resign? I think that happened. I don't have a name.
Well, we've had a couple in the last two or three years. One Ohio House representative had to resign because of sexual improprieties. And when he was caught again, the Republicans demanded that he resign. And the other one, I don't remember, Mike. There was another Republican within the last couple of years that resigned as well, but I don't remember the circumstances. But I honestly believe, I really do, that if this woman was a Republican, she would be treated differently than a Democrat. I really do. I do believe that.
Yeah. And what I don't understand is how people are tying this to Donald Trump. I mean, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This was a state of Ohio issue by a state rep. Is everything that happens in the country tied to Donald Trump?
Then of course, of course, everything is his fault, Mike. Don't you know that? Don't you understand that?
I haven't figured that out by now. I guess it's just,
I mean, if the corn crop is substandard, it's Trump's fault. You know, if the soybeans wither in the fields, it's Trump's fault. You know that?
Yeah, if my cheese had turned green in a freezer, I guess that's Trump's fault.
That's Trump's fault as well, because he probably did away with some kind of rule and regulation about storing cheese. So, yeah, that would be Trump's fault as well. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
All right, Mike. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Hey, here is an update out of Virginia, speaking of governors and COVID-19 and so on and so forth. I've been following the case of Pastor Kevin Wilson of Lighthouse Fellowship Church of, and I've never been able to pronounce this, Chincoteague Chincoteague Island. I think that's it. Lighthouse Fellowship Church of Chincoteague Island in Virginia. Back in April 5th, he was cited for violating state rules concerning the COVID-19. Again, this was back in April. At that time, the state of Virginia demanded that no more than 10 people join together for a worship service. Well, Lighthouse Fellowship Church on Chincoteague? I don't know. Anyway, Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Virginia dared to have 16 people in an auditorium that seated 250. Now, most of you are pretty good about spatial things. Imagine an auditorium with seating capacity of 250. Imagine 16 people total. I am assuming that's including the pastor, which he would not be seated. Maybe someone was leading the music. So if that's the case, there would only be 14 people seated in an auditorium of 250. Well, he was given a citation by the local police, and he was facing up to a year in jail and a fine as much as $2,500. Well, the charges have been dropped. Yeah, the folks at Liberty Council, that's Matt Staver's group, went to bat, and took the state to court, and the state dismissed the charges. Matt Staver said, quote, "We are pleased these charges have now been dropped as we continue to uphold the church's First Amendment right to exist and freely assemble." Governor Ralph Northam has clearly discriminated against Lighthouse Fellowship Church, and these criminal charges reflect his blatant unconstitutional actions against Pastor Wilson. So, good news. The pastor was facing, again, a year in jail, $2,500 in fine, and the state of Virginia has dropped those charges. Now, speaking of that, pray for pastors in California this coming Sunday. Governor Newsom in California has shut down all churches again. They were allowed to open with a lot of restrictions, mass, social distancing, and so forth. But he has issued a brand new mandate, and the state of California has shut down all churches. Attendance of any size. We're not talking number, 10%, none, zero, zip, zilch, no in-person attendance. Thousands of churches in California have already said they're going to defy the state order and they're going to meet. Pray that God will give pastors wisdom and courage. These are tough times to be a pastor. It really is. Pray for your pastor, by the way.